The reading tonight is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, and it can be found on page 839 of our church Bibles. Jesus calms a storm, beginning Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Anne, very much. Let's pray as we begin. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Heavenly Father, we confess that those words said by Jesus to his disciples nearly 2,000 years ago could still be said to us. In fact, they are still said to us. And Father, we're sorry that we're so often afraid and that our faith is so small. Please may our fears decrease and our faith grow as we read of Jesus this evening. By your Spirit and in his name, amen. Well, what makes you afraid? What are the things that really cause you to fear? They're different for everybody, aren't they? Sometimes very small things like spiders, for example. Those of us who are not afraid of spiders find this hard to understand. But people who are afraid of spiders say it's the kind of unexpectedness of them, or mice, or any other of these little things that people are seriously and really afraid of. And I think it's the lack of control. And when you start to look at fear, the things we fear, whatever they are, whether they're small or large, are things we can't control. If we could control them, we wouldn't be afraid of them. And that is why Jesus' followers were so afraid that evening on the Sea of Galilee, because they faced two things that they couldn't control. They faced a fierce storm, and they faced the Lord. First of all, the fierce storm. Much of this passage is clearly eyewitness, isn't it? It's clearly someone who was there telling Mark, we think Peter. We'll come back to that. In one of the books that were written later, we're told that Peter gave the information to Mark. And it's all absolutely realistic. Violent storms do come to the Sea of Galilee. They blow up from the southwest, from the Mediterranean Sea, and they funnel down the Jordan Valley into a kind of arc of hills on the far side of the Sea of Galilee, and they swirl around the whole of that sort of basin. And they can be very violent indeed. But there is, of course, a sign that they're coming, and that is this wind from the southwest. And many of these disciples, several of them anyway, were fishermen, weren't they? They made their living on the Sea of Galilee. They knew the Sea of Galilee inside out. They knew when storms were coming. And so to set out with a storm coming, with the wind coming from the southwest, in the evening, with dark falling, would have been unthinkable. So we have to assume that this was no ordinary storm. This was a storm that came without warning and very suddenly indeed. And so the disciples were faced with something they could not control. Normally, as fishermen, they knew if a storm was coming, don't go to sea. Everything fine. We'll wait. This time, there was no warning. The storm just arose. And these old sea dogs were taken completely by surprise. Here they are, crossing the north end of the Sea of Galilee. The last light of day suddenly blotted out, clouds, black clouds, blown across the sky, and the sea whipped up into a ferocious storm. Waves crashing over the side of the small fishing boat, and the fishing boat inevitably beginning to fill with seawater. They hadn't prepared for a long trip. Jesus had just asked them, it seemed on the spur of the moment, to take him across to the other side. They had said, yes, no problem, and they were completely unable to do anything about it. They couldn't swim too far from the shore, even if assuming they were able to swim at all. Humanly speaking, it was a hopeless situation, completely out of their control, and Jesus had got them into the situation in the first place. Now here he was, fast asleep in the stern of the boat. No wonder they went to him, they shook him roughly awake and said these words to him. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We're going to drown and you're asleep. What are you doing about it? It's rough language. It's rude in a way, but it's very understandable. They were scared witless. And you're not always polite when you're frightened to death. Now, when you read this account in the other Gospels, it's far less vivid. The other Gospels have other give it different angles. Mark makes it as vivid and rough as possible. And you wonder why, don't you? What was it in Mark's situation or the situation of his readers which made this so vivid to them, made it such an urgent message for them? And then you think, well, if this was Peter telling Mark in Rome, Peter was in prison by then. Peter was in one of Caesar's dungeons awaiting execution. And Paul, the other great Christian leader, was in another dungeon also awaiting execution. And the Christians were clearly about to be plunged into an enormous storm of persecution. Terrible things were on the horizon for these people. And Mark is saying, look, this has all happened before. Peter tells me about a storm on the Sea of Galilee. It was completely out of their control. You may be terrified, brothers and sisters. You may feel that Jesus is asleep. What's he doing? Why are things like this? Our leaders about to be killed, ourselves and our families about to be hounded to death and killed in horrible manner. Was Jesus asleep? Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? And I suppose that Christians down through the ages have felt that when they faced horrible situations. Maybe situations within the church. Think about the Reformation. Think about some of the things that went on there. Think about what happened when Mary Tudor came to the throne. Hundreds of Christians burnt at the stake. Teacher, don't you care? Think about our experience in the church today, when what we've heard from General Synod. And there seems to be a spirit of open rebellion and rejection of the gospel and of truth and of God's word. Teacher, don't you care? Or there may be some storm or other in our lives which causes us to be very afraid. It's going to be different for each one of us, but there'll be something which is really churning us up. Jesus, are you asleep? There may be world events. We look out at the world and we think, what's going on? Teacher, don't you care? How can Jesus sleep in the middle of such a fierce storm? Going back to the actual events, this cannot be a made-up detail, can it? It's so unlikely. It must be true. Jesus asleep on a cushion in the stern. What's going on? He can't just have been worn out, although he'd had a long day preaching, and, you know, preaching is very tiring, you know. But it wasn't just that. No one could sleep through a storm like that unless they were in control of it. Unless they were completely relaxed about it, because they caused it and they were going to bring it to an end. Jesus had no fear. Why? He was in control. When you read through the Old Testament, you see time and time again that God is in control of his creation. His creation is not ever outside his control. So when a storm comes, it's God who brings it. When it comes to an end, it's God who brings it to an end. God is in charge of the sun, the rain, the snow, the wind, the clouds, all of it, all the time. He made it. He controls it. God the Creator is in control of his creation. And Jesus was clearly in control of the whole situation on Galilee. Mark stresses this in the way in which he recounts the event. It's Jesus who suggested the boat trip. Let us go across to the other side. It's Jesus who went just as he was. No need for any special preparations. He'd already made them. It's Jesus who was steering the boat. Why was he sitting in the stern on a cushion? Cushion's rather a grand name for it. It was a sack full of straw or something where the guy sat who steered the boat. The tiller's at the back of the boat. Jesus was steering this boat into the storm. Right into the storm he'd prepared. So when the storm blew up, job done, and off to sleep. He went. It was all part of his plan. There was another storm that Jesus steered right into the middle of, with his disciples following on behind. I think you know what I mean. We're told in the Gospels over and over again, Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. Why would you go to Jerusalem? The disciples were aghast. All Jesus' enemies were there. He was going right into the heart of the opposition. But he was in control. He was in charge. And when you read through the Gospels, when you read the accounts leading up to the crucifixion, it's quite clear that Jesus is in control of all of it. So Jesus steered them into the storm, and then he calmed the storm. Verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He rebuked the wind. Jesus spoke to the wind. He said, "Be quiet, He said to the waves, "Be still." The language used is the kind of language that you'd use to an unruly dog barking and jumping up at visitors. "Get down!" His master's voice. And unlike some dogs I know, the wind and waves obeyed their master straight away, instantly. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Do you know how impossible that is? Okay, winds die down, but the waves don't usually stop. Waves can go on for hours and hours. It's called inertia or something, isn't it? Long after the wind has ceased to blow in a normal storm, the sea will be high. But not here. The creation obeyed its creator's voice instantly. "Be calm, be still." And it was. There was a great calm. Not just an ordinary calm. A great, supernatural, perfect peace. The sea in the Bible often stands for chaos, from beginning to end, really. So the very first words of the Bible are about a kind of chaos of waters out of which God creates. And right at the end of the Bible, we're told that in the new creation, there will be no more sea. In other words, no more chaos. And in the midst of the chaos that our lives often feel like, Jesus is Lord. It's his chaos, and he's in control of it. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples then, back on the Sea of Galilee, really should have known that already. Verse 40, he tells them off, doesn't he? He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Because they'd been with him a while, and even at this stage in Mark's gospel, they'd seen extraordinary things. They'd seen evil spirits cast out. They'd seen leprosy cleansed. They'd seen umpteen people healed. They'd seen a paralyzed man forgiven. They'd seen that Jesus is in control, even of the chaos of sickness and suffering and evil and sin. He was in control. Clearly, Jesus was Lord, is Lord, and they really should have begun to trust him, shouldn't they? And yet when the chaos came to them, they were filled with fear. They were filled with fear. I think one of the reasons we can be confident of the truth of the Gospels when we're talking to people, if they question whether the Gospels are reliable, we can say, look, if you were making up a story about Jesus, and you were wanting to put yourself into the story, wouldn't you portray yourself in a good light? Wouldn't you show that you were a hero of faith? Wouldn't you say, "The storm came, but we had no fear. The Lord was with us." Wouldn't you do that? You would, wouldn't you? You wouldn't portray yourself as rude, terrified, clueless. But that's exactly how Peter portrays himself and his friends, isn't it? We find this time and time again in the Gospels. And it's so helpful to us because we immediately know that this is us too. These are not heroes of the faith far removed from our experience. They are just like us. In other words, just like us, when things seem out of control, everything we know about Jesus goes overboard, literally in this case. And we're panicking. And we're terrified. And we really should not be. Because, actually, we've got far less excuse than they had. They hadn't been with him all that long. They hadn't seen the greater miracles yet, let alone Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They hadn't seen the gospel spread out into the whole world. They hadn't had 2,000 years of Christian history behind them, like we have. We have far less excuse for our fear, and yet here we are, still filled with fear. We fail to trust Jesus. And you know, we probably say to ourselves and one another, well, I know, I just can't help it. Isn't that the point? Isn't that the whole point? Of course we can't help it. The whole point is Jesus can help it. And yet we don't turn to him for help. We'll see that in a moment. So we're not in control, but he is. And on the Sea of Galilee, he proved it. Now, wouldn't you think that now the disciples began to get the message? That now the sea is instantly calm. These guys who'd never seen a storm start and finish like this would think, oh, hello, we've got the Creator on board. We're okay, boys. But no, no. Once again, just like us. Verse 41. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? So they were afraid of the storm, and then they were afraid of the one who calmed the storm, because he was greater. He had some power which they were terrified by, a greater power than the storm. They were still afraid because they were out of control and terrified by who Jesus might be. And here again, we too can be terrified by the power of Jesus. But here again, our fear is different from theirs. Their fear was really caused by ignorance. They hadn't had any time to work this out. They hadn't had all the advantages that we have. They hadn't, I guess we're going to say the creed soon, they hadn't got a creed to say. But we, every Sunday, say these words. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So our fear is not the fear of ignorance. It's the fear of disobedience. Because we say those words, we claim to believe that he's Lord, and then we live very differently, don't we? Our lives are not controlled by the Lord. We're pushed about by our fears. And we're deeply afraid to make him our Lord, to give him our lives, to give him control, because we like to keep control ourselves. I think that sometimes that's why people question the miracles. It isn't intellectual, because the explanations they come up with are rubbish. What it is, it's fear. What if Jesus is Lord? What will that mean for my life? The wind and waves obey him, but we're not so ready. So we keep him at arm's length. When life's going okay, we just, you know, keep him at arm's length. We don't pray very much. We don't think about him most days. Maybe we come to church, but that's as far as it goes. We don't want that power in our lives. And then if sooner or later chaos catches up with us, the thing we fear most happens to us, and when the crisis comes, we wonder where Jesus is. Well, he's at arm's length. Well, we've kept him. At least these first disciples of Jesus were with him in the boat. At least they turned to him for help, even if they were rude in the way they asked. So often we fail to even ask the questions. We have a kind of polite distance because we're afraid. And instead we look for other solutions to our fears. And it may be we manage to insulate ourselves. Maybe we manage to keep our fears at bay. But Jesus, time and again in his teaching, said, a storm is coming that you cannot avoid. One day, we will all face a storm that is beyond any human control. And that is the storm of God's wrath. The storm of God's wrath against an unbelieving world. And that storm will be unleashed. It will come on the day of judgment. None of us knows when that day will come, but it will. And it will take us by surprise. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. It will take us by surprise when it comes. And Jesus pressed the point home that that's the storm we really should fear. We will be utterly helpless when that storm comes. We will not be able to save ourselves from it, except to remember that Jesus himself went into that storm for us on the cross, took the full force of God's wrath for you and me, and rose again, and like he stood up in the boat, said, peace, be still, overcame sin and death. There was a great calm as he came through that storm for us. So Jesus really is our only hope in that storm. And with Jesus, there really is nothing to fear. Amen.